joined now by the host of PFT Live, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, and he's an author. He's got a new book coming out called Father of Mine. Here is Mike Florio. What's happening, Mike?
What's going on, guys? Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
Mike, what's going on with the Aaron Rodgers saga? Like, shouldn't this be put to bed already, or what's your take on it?
Well, the NFL, like so many other industries, when it comes to negotiation, is driven by deadlines. And we reported before Aaron Rodgers even came out and said that he intends to play for the New York Jets this year that the Packers are content to wait until the draft to get this done. They view the deadline as the moment that they would be exercising the pick that they would get from the New York Jets. Now, the Jets have pushed back. I think the Jets have recognized there's no rush here. It's not like Aaron Rodgers wants or needs to show up for the early stages of the offseason program in New York. He knows the offense. It's Nathaniel Hackett, the former Packers offensive coordinator, who's installing a system Rodgers knows very well. So the Jets can wait at least until the draft. They could actually wait longer than that if they want to. I don't think they need him until the start of training camp, frankly, and that's when the Jets got Brett Favre some 15 years ago. It all comes down to whether or not the Packers are going to hold firm on wanting the Jets' first-round pick. Based on some things Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, said this week, I believe they've abandoned that position. So it now comes down to working out some sort of a formula that protects the Packers in the event the Jets are really good this year, and it protects the Jets in the event that Aaron Rodgers only plays 1 year in New York.
Are you surprised at all, Mike, by how forthright the Jets have been about Rodgers being a part of the team, even though he still is technically not a part of the team?
It doesn't surprise me because Rodgers has come out and said it's what he wants to do. And I think anything other than accepting his intention without equivocation runs the risk of Aaron Rodgers potentially changing his mind. And I think he didn't use the word intention accidentally or spontaneously. I think he's smart enough to know what his words mean. There's another word that starts with I that he strategically used in 2021. So he knows that words matter, and his intention could change. So the Jets minimize that possibility if they just act like he's already on the team. And it's not like the Packers are going to claim tampering. Everyone knows this is happening. The Packers permitted him to talk to the Jets, and I think the last thing the Packers would do is start complaining that the Jets are crossing any sort of boundaries here by talking so openly about this presumption they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, because they are. At some point before week one, Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet unless he changes his mind. And I think the Jets acting accordingly makes it far less likely that he'd change his mind.
Mike, why haven't teams moved heaven and earth to get to Lamar Jackson?
I think it's a variety of factors, a combination of collusion, power play by owners, the idea that the union is trying to get fully guaranteed contracts for all high-end quarterbacks, and that Lamar Jackson is the test case, so it's a tug of war between labor and management. I believe that there are concerns about Lamar Jackson's durability. There are concerns about coexisting with a player who doesn't have an agent, because beyond doing a big-picture, long-term, multi-year deal, there are moments during the relationship with a player that messages need to be sent to the player through the agent. There are certain things that can't be said directly to the player without potentially alienating the player. And the good agents who have deep and long-standing relationships with executives and coaches, they know that. They know how to send those messages. They know how to help the team get what it wants out of the player. And then at some point, there would be another contract to be negotiated with Lamar Jackson. And if you become his new employer, you're standing in the shoes of the Ravens, who have been unable to get anything done. So I am surprised at the fact that there hasn't been more of a land rush. But when you consider what he wants, and also the other thing that gets overlooked in the Deshaun Watson contract, which really sets the stage for the current impasse, It's not just the money that you give to the player and the guarantees that go with it. It's the draft picks you give up to get the player. That's the thing that never gets mentioned with this Browns deal. We focus on $230 million fully guaranteed. Yeah, three first-round picks and more as well. And teams don't want to give up those draft picks for one player, because those draft picks are all lottery tickets and they are low-cost players, and you can turn those draft picks into guys who will be a part of your nucleus for years to come. So a bunch of different factors come into play, and it really doesn't surprise me when you consider all of them that there's no one that is aggressively pursuing Lamar Jackson.
Mike, we were talking about Bill Belichick earlier in the show. Do you think 2 weeks before the season, if there was a segment called Coaches Under the Gun, do you think Bill Belichick's name would surface in that segment?
I think his owner, Robert Kraft, already put him on the hot seat. When Kraft was asked this week in Arizona during the league meetings, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it went along the lines of this. You've had two losing seasons the last 3 years. Can Bill Belichick survive another one, or will he be with the Patriots long enough to catch Don Shula for the all-time wins record? And Kraft did not say he's here no matter what happens in 2023. And anything other than yes in that situation, in my opinion, is no. So he's got to get this done, or he is going to be in trouble. He's got to turn this team around. And I think the uncharacteristic comment from Belichick when he was asked about why fans should believe that the team is going to be better this year, he said, look at the last 25 years. And then that sparked a reaction from guys like former Patriot Teddy Bruschi, who said that goes against everything Bill always told us. You forget the past, you focus on the future. But I think he's starting to feel wobbly for the first time. And this is unprecedented for any of us. When has there been a coach who has delivered so many championships and then stuck around through the decline? Chuck Knoll is the closest to it. And the Steelers kept him for another 14 years after the last Super Bowl win, but it's not like they were terrible during those 14 years. But this is the first time it's really happened in the modern era, and I do think Bill Belichick is on thin ice. And then the question is, if he would get fired, would he land somewhere else immediately, or would teams shy away from him given his age, given that he's kind of prickly and standoffish and wants to run everything? Would a team really want to bring him in if the Patriots move on?
With Mike Florio, that's what fascinates me is the championships, the incredible run, yet he never looked like he enjoyed it. And he was always grumpy, always, you know, poking at the media. He doesn't give anything. And Boston's a tough town, man. I'm sure there's a lot of people with receipts and a lot of people that have been buying their time in the media there saying, I can't wait to absolutely bury this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a part of it, won't it, Mike?
1,000%, which is mathematically impossible, nevertheless true in this circumstance. Because when you are that guy, you have to win. And you can't be that guy. You can't treat people the way he treats people. And I understand at his core there's a reason for it. And look, he learned what happens when you talk when you don't need to talk. That quip about look at the last 25 years created a mess for him. It's better for him to just grumble and grunt and snort and give us nothing, because everything he gives us can be used against him. But you're right. Over the past 20 years, people have been piling up receipts. They've tolerated his mistreatment. I've said for years that one of the reasons he gets paid so much money is because people intensely care about the sport. If he doesn't want to be bothered with the media, he should go coach high school lacrosse. He'll get paid accordingly, and everyone will leave him the hell alone. So, yeah, this is a time when all those things you did, you piled up a stack of things that are going to come back on you if you don't turn it around. And maybe he will. Maybe he will turn it around. Maybe he operates well under pressure, but the pressure is definitely there.
Mike, our host is a massive Lions fan. So are some other prominent broadcasters in Toronto, Joe Bowen being another one. They love the Lions. Are you liking what the Lions are going to do next year?
Well, you know, every year there's a team that we all jump on and say, hey, it's time for them to take the next step, because we saw them last year figure it out too late to really make it. They almost made it, but they turned it around just a week too late. What happens this year when they are carrying that for the first time in forever? That, and it really isn't forever, but it just feels like it.
That's pathetic to even say that.
It's a fact. It's a straight fact.
But think about how that changes the mindset. When you're getting ready to play the Lions, you have to take them seriously now. And I guarantee you, even though players will say, we approach every game the same way, the Bill Belichick stuff, every game's the same, we get ready for every game. Look, when you look at a long 17-game season, if you can spot some games there that you think are going to be easier to win, and then there are the ones you think are going to be harder to win that are measuring stick games, that matters. And now the Lions are a measuring stick, and they've never been a measuring stick, at least not since Barry Sanders. And really, they haven't been a truly great team. The last time they went to a conference championship, the only time, was back in 1991.
With Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and PFT Live, also he's got a new book coming out we'll get to in a moment, Father of Mine. It's out April 25th. You can pre-order now wherever you buy books. So in terms of this Thursday night flex, that's coming out where multiple teams will be playing on Thursday night. I'm curious if you can look into the future, Mike, 10 years, 15 years down the road, how much more are we going to see out of the NFL in terms of them trying to, you know, take all of the pie? In other words, they've already told the NBA, we're taking Christmas. Like, you had your run, good for you, we're taking it now. They're flexing Thursday. I think they're going to Friday at some point. Like, where is this going in the NFL in terms of how much content they can create, how much they can sell it for, and maybe how greedy they are to possibly take it all if they can?
And I want to be clear on this. They've jumbled it up this week. They went into the league meetings trying to get the Thursday night flex. They haven't gotten it yet. They're two votes short. But what they have now is the ability to schedule in advance teams for Sunday to Thursday turnarounds twice per year instead of once. So they can bake into the schedule multiple Dallas Cowboys short week games, multiple Kansas City Chiefs short week games, all the popular teams, the Jets this year. Everyone's going to want the Jets every week. Mm-hmm. Multiple Thursday night games after playing on Sunday. The flex is going to come later, I believe. But what it tells me, when the NFL operates from the premise that it's not a health and safety issue because the injury rate is no different when you play Sunday to Sunday than when you play Sunday to Thursday. Once you come to that conclusion as a league, and I reject that premise. I think it's a disingenuous factor in justifying what they want to do. But once you wrap your arms around that as the NFL, then you say, okay, well, we can play with 3 days off between games. We can play with 4 days off between games. We can play with 5 days off between games. And then you unlock nights of the week that they currently don't own. And it starts with Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'm surprised they haven't gone to Tuesday, Wednesday yet because they learned through the pandemic you can schedule games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and people will watch them. Friday, Saturday is a little more complicated because the law that prevents the NFL from getting sued for antitrust here in the States when they sell all of their rights as a combined unit instead of one team at a time like Notre Dame does. Notre Dame sells its own rights independent of a conference. That's how it would be if the NFL was subject to antitrust litigation. That law that keeps them from getting sued prevents them from televising games on Friday nights or Saturdays from the first weekend in September until the middle of December. But I think they're going to find a way around that. They're already dancing on the line with a Black Friday game the day after Thanksgiving here, mm-hmm. where they're going to play in the afternoon and put it on Amazon. I think Friday, Saturday is coming. I think Tuesday, Wednesday is first. And I think eventually you're going to have every network and every streaming company is going to own one night of the week. From week one until week 18.
Yeah, wow. That's great. If you're baseball, basketball, hockey, that's what you want to hear right now.
You're dreading it, dude.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, man. He is Mike Florio. Okay, so the book is out April 25th. You can pre-order now anywhere you buy your book, anywhere you buy your books. It's called Father of Mine. It's a mob novel set in 1973. So explain to us, Mike. You're an NFL reporter. I believe you were a lawyer in a past life. I guess that means you'll continue to be a lawyer. And now you're a writer, and you're writing fiction. Like, how did this come about?
Well, I'm a recovering lawyer, which means it's never going to leave me no matter how hard I try. And it does come in handy in the business I now do. Here's the reality. Most of the, and I love the mob genre, movies, TV shows, novels, etc. And they're all set in big cities, Chicago, New York, Boston, etc. I grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, which is 60 miles to the southwest of Pittsburgh. And my dad was a bookie back when gambling was illegal, and he was connected to the crew that ran this small town I grew up in. So when I was 8, 9, 10 years old growing up, I saw a lot of things. Obviously, I wasn't never involved in anything like that, but I saw it. It was there. It was prevalent. And I used what I kind of learned just watching as a kid and did some research more recently, and the pandemic went a long way toward giving us plenty of time to sit around and do nothing. So I decided to do something productive. And you know, when you write about football, what you write today is meaningless by tomorrow. What you write tomorrow is meaningless by the next day. And it's like, it'd be nice to write something that somebody could pick up. In theory, somebody stumbles across it years from now. They pick it up and they read it and they enjoy it. It would be nice to write something that has relevance more than one day. So all those factors came together, and I created a completely fictitious plot and characters and everything, but I used that as the framework for it. It's $4.99, which is the best-selling point I can give you, because $4.99 American, you can't find anything for $4.99.
Right.
And I try to keep the price point low, get the maximum readership, and hopefully people will check it out and enjoy it. And I don't know what that translates to in Canada, but you know, Amazon does all the automatic exchange rates. So it's the equivalent of $4.99 American in Canada, whatever that will be.
That's beautiful.
$100.
We're buying it.
Yeah, it's exactly. There's inflation and all that. That means even more. But again, it's Father of Mine out April 25th. You can pre-order now for $4.99 wherever you buy your books, including Amazon. It's like you're a real life Christopher Moltisanti here, Mike. Like you followed through, man. You wrote the script and now it's come to life. So congrats on that.
And I know that
good luck
know
with
how
it.
To spell manage.
Yes.
How to spell it manage.
Yes, you know how to spell manage. That's and dead, I'm assuming. If you actually, it was D-A-E-D, I believe, Moltisanti wrote that. But anyway, great stuff, Mike. Good luck with the book, man, and thank you for doing this.
All right, thanks.
There's Mike Florio. A quick exit, man. That's the guy who does a lot of radio hits.
Yeah, thanks. Probably
thanks. He thanks. Probably hung yeah. up and was like, I hated those guys so much.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, see I love that.
No,
I
mean, even his, even at, off the top, he was like, he gave the, you could tell he's been doing media all day. He goes, yeah, thanks for having me. What's going on?
Yeah, let's get cooking. Yeah. Grappler, were you picking up on that or what?
You guys remember when Michael Lombardi was a regular for us and he would hang up before we'd even said bye? That was pretty much what just happened here.
Yeah, Florio, he doesn't mess around, man.
That's, all business.
Yeah, he's connected, man. He gives you a lot of good stuff.
I mean, it sounds like his dad might have been connected back in the day.
Yeah.
Which was,
you're a bookie back in Wheeling, West Virginia. What kind of action's going on?
He actually stopped short and goes, I saw some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, a guy in a tracksuit show up at his house with a bag of cash?
No kidding.
Like, that's what you're dealing with.
Kind of what it, well, furthermore, if you're a bookie and someone's not paying, you better go get that money. How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You might need some muscle. Absolutely.
Yeah, dad leaving the house with a baseball bat.
Are we going to play catch? No, we're not.
Dad's got some work to do. I'll be back in a bit.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
That's old school. I love it. I'm going to read that book.
That's great. That's really cool.